sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
If you brought a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we will expound that after we read part of it, after we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you are to us. Your mercy is unlimited and your love is abounding, and the depths of which have been written about and sung about, and none of them come close to how much you love us. Please help us to love you more. I'm a believer, but as the Bible says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be able to break the bread of life before these good folks who have come to hear a word from the written word of God. We only preach the Bible here. I'm not a theologian. I didn't reach the upper echelons of education to fall in those groups. I just have to depend on you. And by the way, what a teacher you are. Thank you for helping us to have a place that we can preach the gospel and people can become children of God instead of just creatures of God. Thank you that we teach from the written word what the living word told us to teach. Thank you for the results we see, and thank you for the healings that have taken place here. We ask that you be with all here who are ill or facing operations. Please be with Ann at the house and care for her. And help us above all to do thy will and look forward every day to the sky, saying today may be the day he comes. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So chapter 11 in the scriptures is known as the faith chapter. And it dwells on the faith of many people, as we'll talk about in a minute. But without faith, you have nothing. And the Bible says, chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Very simple sentence, but boy, isn't that confusing. Something with substance we're used to holding on to, aren't we? We like to handle something. If we own it, and if we own a piece of gold, we like to hold it in our hands. If we have something that has good substance to it, good heft to it, we're proud of that. So faith, substance of things hoped for. Why would we hope for something to the point that our full faith is what we count on to see it's coming true? Now don't think, like you see on television, that God's in the bellhop business, that you can just call on him for whatever you want and he'll give it to you. It's called the prosperity gospel. It's not true. All the people, the millions of people who watch certain things on TV, and they hear all you got to do is have faith, and the Lord will bring this to you and that to you. One of the more famous preachers, says you could have a 42-foot yacht if you just had enough faith. He'll find out that faith is good in that area, but if you have enough money, that'll get you the 42-foot yacht quicker. Say, well, why won't God just give me anything I want? Because he knows you and he knows me, and if you give us a 42-foot yacht, we'll be out there Sunday morning. We'll be somewhere else Sunday morning. We won't be in church. Think back over your life of all the things you actually asked God for. Aren't you glad you didn't get them? Boy, if you had, wouldn't you be in shape? All I got to do is pull out an old high school annual and say, thank you, Lord. Look at her now. All she's got to do is pull out the same annual and say, I came that close. Came that close, you see. So we have faith, what, in God. The Bible teaches us that faith is belief. Okay, you can just equate the two. Might as well, they're synonymous. Your belief and your confidence in what you do. And the evidence that faith works is seen every day. But true faith is evidence of things not seen. Isn't that unusual? I have faith that the wind's blowing. I've never seen the wind. Anybody in here ever seen the wind? We got faith that's blowing. I mean, you can see the little reeds darting back and forth. If you were down here in 1954, you could see the results of a wind. The water was 18 feet deep. That hit the red light. Jim Walter houses were passing by like it was a moving belt for selling houses. It went, here comes refrigerators and here comes a car, and unbelievable, wind did that. I've never seen the wind. You've never seen the wind, but we have evidence that the wind is and that the wind blows. We have the same thing when we look to faith in God. We have healing faith. We've prayed for folks who get well from serious, very deadly diseases. Coach Hatchell is a walking model of that. And all we could do is pray. We don't have any medicine. We don't have any contact with the hospital. What we can do is pray. I have to correct people every now and then who say all we can do now is pray. What do you mean all you can do? Prayer is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. If you can pray and the Lord God Almighty chooses to answer that prayer, how else would you get an answer? The doctors can't answer. I was supposed to die. A lot of people are sad that I didn't when I was born. And just a little fellow there, and I had the pleural stenosis. If you've been in the medical field, you know pleural stenosis means you can't eat anything. Your stomach turns upside down. And they told my mom and my dad, they said, look, Dr. Greenway, you got a wonderful son at home. Billy's a wonderful boy, good health, nothing wrong with him. Just be glad you got him. Don't even announce this one's here. Because Dr. Greenway, with your fame, if you announce that this baby's here, we know what's going to happen. Cards are going to come, gifts are going to come, calls are going to come, and they're going to come, and you're going to have to tell them, I'm sorry, little buddy didn't make it. Don't even announce he's been born. So my mama looked at him and used foul language and said, we'll go somewhere else to heal him. And she talked to the Lord about it, of course, and there were five doctors in there. Five, Anderson, South Carolina. And there I am. And my dad looked at him and said, y'all through? And they said, yeah, there's nothing more we can do. He said, fine, you excused. Generally at the hospital, it's the doctor that sends you out, you know. He said, y'all are excused, get out the room. Five doctors walked out of the room. He gets on his knees and rubs me on the back. He's not a miracle worker. He's not a healer. But he talked to the one that is. That, Lord Jesus, this one is yours. You can have him, whatever happens to him. If he passes on and you choose to take him to heaven as a baby, that's your will, and that's fine. If you let me raise him, I will raise him in the faith and will swear to you this is a little boy who will know you. And little red-headed preacher kids aren't exactly pointed out as the best on the block. And of all the people you'd ever see would be a preacher, I'd be at the tail end. Just wild as can be. Just couldn't line up. I got 143 report cards that say, Buddy just won't apply himself. That's all they said. My daddy wanted to see the report cards. I'd always have my mother sign them. And Mama already took care of that. I didn't want him to see those grades. He died thinking D meant I was doing it. No, D meant you were dumb. You see. But then he turns it around. Turns it around. I got a brother. We got folks from Bob Jones here today. Finished Bob Jones University, fundamental evangelical Bible school. Know Dr. Bob. Know all three Dr. Bobs. I knew them all. My dad knew them all. Bill knew them all. He finished there. Went on, got a master's degree at Stetson. Taught at Houghton College for 35 years. A student, wonderful gentleman, one of the finest Christian men you had ever come across. Highly intelligent. Why didn't God let him be the preacher? I don't know. Why in the world would he let me? I don't know, other than I assume a lot of people come through there and say, if God did that for him, there's no telling what he can do for me. See? And it's sad to know that had you had enough faith, you, me, anybody, that we could have been in a position to serve God in a way that would blow people's minds. Charles Spurgeon was from England. Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. Shook two continents with his expounding of the Word of God. One time he was praying, he'd pray for 2 or 3 hours in the morning. Can you imagine that? His wife wouldn't even bother him. If she had breakfast, she put it at the door, knocked on the door. He knew breakfast was out there. She didn't open that door. He prayed. The Queen sent to see Charles Spurgeon. Sent a big coach, you know, with the white horses and all the big regalia, and they came. And the footman got off and knocked on Dr. Spurgeon's door, and his wife answered and said, the Queen requests the presence of Charles Spurgeon. Would you please tell him that? She said, yeah, I'll go tell him. So she went and timidly knocked on the door. And he said, yes, because he didn't like to be bothered when you're praying. And she said, honey, the Queen has sent a footman and a coach for you. She wants to see you, said she wants to talk with you. And he said, fine, tell the footman that I'm talking to the King right now. I'll get with her later. You didn't do that in England. Right. See. So close to God. My dad preaching, I can hear that voice now saying, 1,000 times over, near, so very near to God. I can no nearer be. For in the person of his son, I'm just as near as he. Can you imagine that? And you break that down and you see that the Lord God Almighty sent Jesus to save us from our sin only because he loved us. And when we accept him by faith, and faith alone, he counts you as righteous as he does his son. You can't imagine that, can you? Okay, Coach Hatchell, I'm sure, has some girls come through that are good, but they aren't Tar Heel good. And they make the team. They get a uniform, but it's just, they just aren't good enough to put in the game. Almost. Not good enough. You have to meet a high criteria if you play for certain people. Coach John Wooden out in UCLA, I think he won 10 national championships, didn't he, Ms. Hatchell? Nobody's come close. He started every basketball season, got the team members together, and pulled a white sock out of his pocket. Turned it over and said, this is a sock, an athletic sock. Said, if you notice, it has little pieces of cotton sticking up. You cut those off your socks. And you smooth those socks out. Because at the level we play at, those little strings can give you a blister. You get a blister, you aren't worth a hoot to me. When you go to that level, they're looking for the people who can stick there, don't they? Watch the Olympics if you can. And listen when they say, this lady was diving. This is her fourth Olympics. They had one gentleman diving for the men last night. And he came in second or third, way up there. 41 years old. This was his fourth Olympics. How in the world can you go that much of an extra mile? That's why we say there are missionaries that I wouldn't anymore share the stage with then try to outrun the guy that won the 100-yard dash last night. They've gone without food. They've gone with diseases. They've seen husbands and wives put to death by the natives they were trying to bring Christ to. My brother had told you went to Bob Jones University and he ran into a girl that he'd gone to school with and she'd become a missionary. Her husband had become a missionary, and they went to Africa. And they were calling on tribes that had never heard the name of Jesus. Scary. But they had the faith that they would call on headhunters. They didn't care. They were there to serve the Lord and believe to their teeth that he meant what he said and said what he meant. And when we say that, we mean little things you read in the Bible and just don't remember them. You just kind of pass over them, you know, where he says, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Until you get in seminary and find out a little Greek, you'll find out the never in Greek is five times as powerful as the English. Never. So what Jesus was saying, don't worry. I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. Now, when the Son of the Living God gives you that promise, it'll certainly build up your faith for it. They were calling on a tribe they hadn't been able to reach, and finally the chief sent for them and said it would be okay for them to come down and do whatever they did, holding a Bible study, of course. Now, come on down. So they made their way through the jungle. They made place to his place, and it wasn't far before they heard the music and the dancing and the drunkenness and the wildness, and said, "We have stepped in it now." And they came out to greet him and talk to him, and they talked to him. And here comes one guy, and he's got an arrow in his hand. And she's getting along with this guy, talking to him, explaining who they are and what they want. He doesn't ask a question. He's drunk as a goat anyway. And just takes the arrow and throws it through her husband's neck. Of course, he's dead. Falls down. She gets knocked to the ground. She, of course, is expecting to get raped, killed. Doesn't know what to do. And she said, "I just started shaking." Maybe you've had something that shook you up where you just can't control yourself. She said, "My whole body was just, I had lost control. I was just shaking. And I knew if this guy saw me shaking, he'd know I was alive. And if he knew I was alive, I'd soon be dead. So all I could do was pray. And I'd say, Lord Jesus, if you want me to come home, I'm ready. If you want me to stay and be the missionary you called me to do, please stop the shaking so he'll think I'm dead." And she said, "I would be still as a bar of steel." He'd wander off and said, "Dad, I'd go again." Three times. Till finally he walked off and left her. Why did the husband die and why did she stay alive? Those are questions pitiful preachers like me can't answer. We just have to say, as I do, and pray for those of you who are sick every day, and pray for my wife, and we don't even know what she's got. And I just say, Lord Jesus, thy will be done. I know what I would have done. I'm not in charge. I don't know what you have down the road, Fan, or me, or Scott, or our little church that gathers to worship you every Sunday. We don't know. We can't bet on down the road, but we can lay our life by faith in Christ. I've got a cross Anne put up in my bathroom on the walls. You got them everywhere. And it just says, "You are saved by grace through faith." Isn't that something? Now, every denomination, and I don't jump on the denominations. If you want to be a denomination, be one. But everybody tries to add something to the grace of God, and you can't do that. You can't add anything to the atonement, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and nothing you can add. No works, no giving, no nothing. It's done. It's finished. He paid for all sin, for all time, with one act. When he gave his blood and swapped his righteousness for our sin. Think about it. I, like you, I'm sure, think of sins I've committed in the past, and you're supposed to repent of all sins, and boy, I'm telling you, I don't know how they come back, but they'll come back, won't they? And you'll think of things you said or things you did, or things you didn't do. And he said, "One more time, Lord Jesus, I want to make sure the tablet's been erased. I want to make sure that all my sins are covered. I'm so ashamed, the older I get, to look back of how foolish I was." I think you probably do that. But the good news is, he said, "I don't care by who, with whom, how many times, in what attitude. I do not care. I do not care. My blood is sufficient for thee. Covers everything. Now you have a hard time, especially if you're a new Christian, and us 80-year-olds in 6 months, we look back over things, and I see the Olympics, and I know millions of people are watching that thing on television around the world. I see the NFL games, and I see stadium after stadium after stadium after stadium, 100,000 people at a football game. And you understand the problem of the sinner who can't see how the death of one man can cover the sins of all those people. How can that be? Well, the way it can be is he wasn't just a man. He was just Son of God. He was 100% God and 100% man. And we don't understand that. I can't spend time trying to figure that out. I don't even know how a black cow eats green grass, gives white milk, and makes yellow butter. I mean, you don't have to go very far to prove me dumb. All right? I happened to be going through you got the zip little thing, hadn't you? What do you call them? The changer. I call him Ted, the Turner. I said, Ann, where's Ted? It's your bed. And I'm going through, and one of these science programs come on, and I don't speak their language, but they're discussing, three or four scientists, and they're discussing now, they've found out that when they do send a rocket up, and it goes so far, that something takes place, and they've just found out about it. And they were real proud when they found out that it would Mach 1 is the speed of sound, Mach 2 is twice that. And they were real proud when the rockets are sending up or whirling around hit 17,000 miles an hour right now. But they found out something takes place at a certain altitude that gets behind that thing now and pushes it. How fast is the speed of light now, Jack? Francis don't know. How far is it, Doc? How many? 186,000 miles a second? Yeah, all right, that's pretty fast, isn't it? But this new thing they found out that gets behind it at a certain elevation pushes it 100 times the speed of light. And I saw that and I just lit up, because all the people who have questioned the Lord Jesus when he said, I'm going to jerk you out of here one day, absent with the body is present with the Lord immediately. So, man, nothing's that fast. How are you going to pull the resurrected dead and the saved living up so many hundred millions of miles to where he sits instantly? They know now, don't they? I can't even comprehend what they're talking about. I just know it be fast. Shoot. Here, there. Shut your eyes, open them, and there's Jesus. What a thrill. What a promise to look forward to. Said, you believe that? Yeah, I believe it by faith. I can't imagine people who want a fact for everything. And I started to bring, oh, there's one. There's one. All the professors taught you, high school, junior high, college, evolution, right? I mean, it's just common sense. Everybody believes in evolution. I'm going to show you every known fact. I don't mean every known maybe. Every known it could be. Every known, well, maybe it was. I'm going to show you every fact of evolution. Don't ever forget it. That is. Every university teaches it. Every high school teaches it. 99% of the people in America believe it. Every country in the world now believes it. Well, do you have a fact to back that up? Well, we have a maybe. I don't know maybe on a fact. Do you have one fact to prove what you're teaching? No. We have facts for our faith. We can go back through archaeological digs and find proof of where this happened, of where the walls fell, of where the tower was, of where the tombs were, of where the city was, of where the Tower of Babel was. Now they think at the end of the Dead Sea, they've found where Sodom and Gomorrah was. They're not sure, but they're pretty sure. We'll count it when they go ahead and dig something really solid up out of there. But that's where all the salt came from, by the way. You remember the man's wife looked back and turned to salt, and everybody laughs at that? No, they can't. It came down on her. She turned salt. See? We read from a book of people who were there. We don't just have to read something by some guy and say, well, I hope he knows what he's talking about. I read from eyewitnesses who saw it, who walked with him after he rose from the dead, who ate with him after he rose from the dead, who saw him die on the cross, who saw him buried in a tomb, and came back and didn't see him because he was gone. This isn't hearsay. We can back up our facts with facts. And yet the average man thinks the Bible is nothing but myths and stories and... My goodness, how sad. The truth has taken a beating in the last 100 years, hasn't it? You look at the truth. Won't believe it. Hear the truth. Discount it. Don't care. Well, what about your faith? Well, I don't have any faith. Fine, you get to go to hell. How's that? Well, you shouldn't talk to people like that. That's what Jesus said. He said, follow me, tell them what I told them. He said, you bunch of snakes. Why, you shouldn't call people names. Jesus did. Read the book of Matthew. We've turned religion into a social thing. Let's all dress up and go to church, and we'll smile and play like we don't hate our wife and everything. Who are you kidding? If we took the troubles in the families that sit here today and you hid back there and listened to them, you'd be so glad yours were yours, you wouldn't know what to do. We don't broadcast our problems. We smile because we've been taught to say everything's all right. No, it isn't. When you ask people and you witness in your home, at your business, and you talk to people and you say, how's your faith? They'll say, what faith? They don't have any faith. What are you putting your faith in? I mean, doesn't common sense tell you, like me, I'm almost 80. The next big event in my life is a funeral. The Lord, don't jerk us out of here. And I think that's the next big event. But I put my life by faith in Him. All my faith, all His promises I believe. All his sayings I want to keep. All my sin is gone. All because of Calvary. I love those old hymns. But what about you? How's your faith? Are you saying, boy, I hope God, you hope God. Do you know hope in the Bible doesn't even mean hope, what we say hope means? When we say hope, we say, boy, I hope the Panthers do good this year. Boy, I hope Miss Hatchell is number one in the nation this year. Boy, I hope so-and-so wins the Olympics this year. That's a hope, a wish, a desire. I understand that. That's our language. Hope in the Bible is a sure thing. The blessed hope that Jesus will come and raise the dead in Christ and catch those who are alive up in the air to meet him and forever be with the Lord. As it sounds like a fairy tale to me. No, you sound like a fairy tale to me. Your faith is in nothing. Why would you live a life with faith in nothing? I'd study music, mathematics, art. I'd get into something looking for an end, wouldn't you? Something that could give me peace. Something that could say your sins are forgiven. You know, we're the only religion out of several thousand that has a Savior. Isn't that wonderful? They all have a founder. They all have a leader. They all have somebody to put their trust in. We're the only ones with a Savior. We're the only ones with God who came to earth. And we got some good Mormon boys live out there where we live. And they're just clean, dressed up, eloquent. Help you with the groceries, anything they can do. Just precious people. Misled. Turned upside down. And when they used to come and talk to me, I'd say, son, I'm not mad at you. But you're upside down. You've got man growing into God. God put on flesh. A little lower than the angels. You carry a Bible and it's in there, but you won't read it. You won't understand it. You are trying to work your way to heaven and nobody's done it yet. What makes you think you can? You're supposed to get better every day, aren't you? Well, yeah, I said you can't. You can't. You'll sin today. You'll do something or left something undone. See, what we don't get taught at most churches is sins of commission are really bad. Boy, he's on drugs, you know, all the things. Do you know sins of not committing them can be just as bad? Of non-commission? Something you were supposed to do, didn't do it? Something that little voice inside told you to do, and you didn't do it? He'll get on you about the big things. He'll get on you about the little things. I'm trying to fix my glasses here the other day, and I got Gorilla Glue on them. Now, Gorilla Glue don't come off. Gorilla knew what he was doing. So I've tried everything, I mean, that you can do to get that off of there. And it struck me, I'll go down to Lowe's below the house there, and they'll have paint remover or something. That's what I ought to get. So I go right down there. And I asked the lady, where would the stuff that gets glue off be? She said, well, try the paint department down there. They'll have stuff that gets painted off. And so that's okay. And I run, and I found a can named after me called Goof Off. Right? And I read it real careful. And it said it'll get off paint, tar, Gorilla Glue. Amen. I'm here. So I take the can and do the little spout up and put me some drops on there and wiggle it around, and sure enough, it helped. And then I put the spout down and put it back on the shelf. Why pay $4.98 when all I needed was four rocks, right? So I get to my car. Jesus riding shotgun. Said, how come you go in there, child of mine, a preacher of the gospel, and steal the Gorilla Glue? I didn't steal the Gorilla Glue. I borrowed four drops. No. You stole four drops from whoever buys that can. There'll be four drops short. And thought about that thing and got to where, as if I'd have held up a bank. And opened the door and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going right back in there and buy the can of Gorilla Glue. Is it good? So to save my embarrassment, I went by the girl at the door and said, have you seen my brother? He looked kind of like he was in here a while ago. Bought the little can of Gorilla Glue. Didn't work as well, but I learned a good lesson. There ain't no such thing as a small sin. There is no such thing as a little disobedience. There isn't any such thing that you can do something and God's not watching you if you're His child. And so I got to come back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm very sorry. I'm sitting in when it was new, $50,000 automobile. Had it given to me. The other week I had to put a $2,000 transmission in it. You provided the money. I go home to an air-conditioned condo that the man, good Christian man, Billy Powers, said, why don't you just go out there and live? You can stay till you die. I live like a king did 100 years ago. I live better than him. So do you. And I think of all the blessings God's given me. And he said, after all I've done for you, you gonna steal four drops of Gorilla Glue? And it was hot. I think I was sweating around my eyes. But it wasn't sweat. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. We forget how good He is and how bad we still are. We forget Christians still sin. You know, a lot of people teach that once you get saved, everything's over. You'll never sin again. Well, you're not running with the Christians I am. Every day, in 100 different ways, by thought, by deed, by commission, by omission, we're still a bunch of sinners. The only thing good about that is Jesus said, don't worry about it. I will take all of your sin and cover it with my blood. And when you stand before the Father and they pull up your record, He will see nothing but red. There won't be a sin on it. There won't be a bad mark there. All He will see is what He sees when He looks at me. And I said, excuse me. Surely the book doesn't teach that the Father looks at me as He does His Son. That's exactly what it says. So we're behind on thankfulness and we're behind on prayer. And we're behind on some sins of omission and sins of commission. And boy, I'm right in the middle. I can't jump on you. Well, we must exercise our faith. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. If your denomination or church has certain rituals they want you to go through after you accept Christ as Savior, and you want to go through them, have at it. It won't add to your salvation. Remember the Bible verse I quoted a while ago? That you have been saved. Through grace. By faith. It's a done deal. What a God we have. How casually we treat Him. We all do it, don't we? And I'm so thankful for the people who gather here on Sunday morning, and sometimes look like we got about 100, 150 this morning. Sometimes we have 200. Holidays, we've had up to 500. It isn't a numbers game. I was proud of Spanky, you sit right there. Used car dealer. Now, if God can save a used car dealer, Johnny, right? And Spanky got cancer, and he turned as brown as this pulpit. And he was dying. They told him. He knew. And they brought him and sat him down over there, and he had turned brown. He was gone. And when we finished and we were singing the song we sing every Sunday, I just went over and said, I just want you to know I love you, Spanky. And he said, I love you too. And he was crying. And he said, I get to go to heaven because of you. I said, no. I appreciate the compliment. You get to go to heaven because of Him. And I'm going to be right there with you. And me and you can sit here and swap how rotten we were stories till the sun sets, because I know you and you know me. But all that's gone. Stress and anxiety is the number one illness in America today. People die from stress, worrying. The Bible tells you not to worry. It's a sin to worry. What can you do about something? I'm worried we're going to have a nuclear war. You won't have to worry long. It'll fry you like a piece of bacon. Not to worry at all. Well, I'm just so scared of death. There's no death for a Christian. We're looking for a greater life. Don't you read the book at all? Don't you understand the examples that are given in here? They might as well put our name by them. Don't you understand every promise in this book made by the Lord God Almighty applies to you if you've accepted Him as Savior? Do you understand there's nothing too hard for God? As the book says, nothing. Do you understand that the love of God reaches so far down? I love the song they sang at my dad's home going. I helped preach that home going, and the song went. He reached the love of God is the name of it. It reaches past the lowest hell. And past the farthest star. And that love is yours. If you're a Christian, don't ever say, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. I'm a Christian, and Miss Ann loves me, so she says. You can't trust them, can you? I mean, I've had three or four say that. Did it done? Tough times came, they got out of there. Right? Love is when you're willing to be nailed to a cross, beaten half to death, have a spear run into your heart, and you look at the man that did it and said, I did this for you. Woo. And he'd have done that for you. He did it for you. So cheer up. You come in here, Ann gave me a lecture this morning, said, Beaver, people don't like to laugh as much as you do. They've had hard times, and I said, you didn't know me before we got married. I've had my share of bumps. All right? Just like you. I've had depression and oppression and obsession and the whole thing, just like you. But I was taught as a little boy, keep your face on. You can lose everything else you got. It can be replaced. Keep your faith. Because your faith is in the eternal one. He who is, was, and always shall be. That's my Savior. So come join us. We don't have membership cards, and we don't have rolls to call, and got some rolls to eat. You're welcome to. And we just meet in the joy of hearing the Word of God. To think that He put so many lovely, nice people together like y'all. You think I get up and worry if the chairs have been put out? We came up here one morning and the police had yellow ribbons. I thought they were celebrating. We just tore them down, came on in. Where are you going to put 200 people in a jail in Oree County? Getting that way. People don't like you if you're a Christian. Your friends will quit inviting you to the parties if you quit. You're a Christian. You're not fun anymore. See, the sad part is they didn't know what fun was. Fun is waking up and saying, isn't that a beautiful ocean? I own it. Aren't those beautiful Smoky Mountains? They're mine. What do you mean? Well, I'm a joint heir with Christ. I own what He owns. All things were made by Him and for Him, the book says. Get happy. I was listening to a good down-home black church coming up here this morning. Used to have one in Greenville called Meeting House in Dixie. And they met at 10 o'clock Saturday night because they had to work when everybody else was at church. And I mean, they would have the best time at that little church. I've ridden by it 100 times. Just the joy expressed and the smiles expressed and the hugs expressed and the I love yous and all that. I said, that's Christianity. That's Christianity. We have that here. We can use some more of it. If you're new here, you're subject to get hugged. You're subject to somebody say, welcome, and by the way, we love you, and you say, they must be crazy. No. No, no, no. We have faith in Him. We tell each other it'll be all right. We don't know that. When He says it'll be all right, it'll be all right. Nothing can be hidden from Him. There's no problem He can't solve. He will direct this universe forever. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords and loved me so much He died for me. Amen. Amen. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night hollering that? I do. Do you ever wake up at night crying because God's been so good to you? I do. Ann said, who is that little friend you have that you talk to all the time? when you get my age, nobody wants to talk to you, so you talk to yourself. And you watch TV and you talk to whoever it is. She calls him Sparky. I said, half the time I'm talking to Sparky and half the time I'm talking to Jesus, honey. I said, well, you're crazy. Do you have any news? Got any news? Let me tell you what's wrong with the world and we'll go home. Adam and Eve broke God's law, rejected Him, started to have children without His blessing, were not saved, therefore they were incomplete. They were complete before they sinned. Once they sinned, they were incomplete. And the whole universe has intermarried ever since. And everybody's crazy. Hadn't you noticed? But if you're going to be crazy about the Lord. Be a religious fanatic. Be a nut. I got to get me some money together because I'm going to put a sign out there every Sunday that says, eternal life matters. I'm the only one that does. The rest of them. Have you got eternal life? Have you got faith enough to truly believe with all that's in you that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you? Have you ever confessed your sin? I'll get you in a minute. We'll get a short person up here. Have you ever confessed your sin and said, Lord, I'm sorry, just forgive me for all of it, please. I can't name it all. You know what it is. Please forgive me and cover me with thy blood. And I was reading the scriptures the other day. Thank you. Reading the scriptures the other day and knew, but hadn't read it in a while. It said, you are continually washed in the blood. Once you become a Christian, it's not just washed in the blood, baptized, set him over, paint him blue. No. You are continually washed in the blood of Christ, and every sinful thought, deed of commission or omission is washed away on a daily basis. Amen. What a God. Martin Luther King was right. The old Negro spiritual was right. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And if you're not free, won't you take care of that today? You don't have to come up here. Bow your head where you are and just pray that prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm looking for a Savior. I believe it's you, and I want to put 100% of my faith in what you did on Calvary to save me. Plus nothing, minus nothing. I want to do that today. Get it over with. Get it done. Become a child of God instead of a creature of God. And share in that abundant love that those of us who have known Him for years have shared in for years. How wonderful He is. Thank you, Lord. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good You are. Your goodness, Your love, Your mercy, Your kindness can't be explained in human terms. I'm not a Shakespeare or a Longfellow, and I'm subject to misuse the language I was brought up in, and on the IQ test, I'm afraid I didn't score the highest. But one day I understood I was a sinner, and one day I understood You were a Savior, and one day I understood it was You who died on Calvary's cross to save me. And strangely enough, had I been the only sinner, you would have still come and still died for me. And I just want to thank you again today for that. And if there be one here under the sound of my voice or on the webcam that goes around the world, if there be one listening who isn't sure that if they died today, the next face they see would be yours, may they bow their head wherever they are and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I need a Savior, and I'm going to put my faith in you. And I promise you, He will take care of the rest. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for His sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Sinner!